Appreciate your presence with us today. And it's good to have you. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, I will be in Brian Emmerdale worshiping with the brethren either in Cave or in Montego Bay, Jamaica. And looking forward to that time with the brethren there and spending a couple of weeks with them. I always look forward to the work. I do not look forward to being away from home. I don't look forward to the heat and the discomforts of uncomfortable accommodations down there. You kind of go into survival mode when you get there. But I am anticipating seeing the smiling face of Maxwell James, the preacher in Montego Bay, at the airport, hopefully Friday morning about 11:45. And we certainly solicit your prayers in our behalf, and I want to thank you personally for allowing me to go, for those gentlemen who will be filling in while I'm gone, and for your fellowship with me again in the work down there. Most of us would agree, I think, that character is a byproduct of personal choice. The fact is that we are who we choose to be, by and large. If I choose to be promiscuous, then I will be promiscuous. If I choose to be gentle in spirit, then I will be indeed gentle in spirit. If I choose to be lazy, then I will be lazy. We are who we choose to be. And the reality is that circumstances really do not, they may help to shape character, but the reality is that they do not really make us what we choose to be. In fact, there are stories that you may know that I could tell you and that you may know of against incredible odds, people who have succeeded quite well in this life in spite of all of the handicaps that have been dealt with them. Well, there's a story in the book of Exodus that says a lot about character because of the characters that we find in Exodus, the 32nd chapter. It seems that Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to receive the law. He was there 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was there, the people became impatient. And beginning in the 32nd chapter in verse 1, we find the first six verses kind of the setting of this story. It says that when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us God that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." And so all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molded calf. And then he said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let's consider some of the characters in this story. First of all, there are the people of Israel who have basically prompted the making of this golden calf. And the first observation that we would say about the character of these people is they were very fickle. Moses had gone up into the mountain to receive the law. And in the absence of Moses, they begin to pressure Aaron into making and fashioning this golden calf. They have changed. Now bear in mind, these are a people that have seen the glory of God. You remember in the 20th chapter and the 18th verse, that there was this great manifestation and demonstration before them at the mountain. All the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning, the flashes, the sound of trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Thus they have seen a manifestation of the greatness of God, of Almighty God. But now all of a sudden, they have forsaken Him and they want to make this golden calf to worship. But not only were they fickle, but coupled with that, they were very impatient. God had sent Moses up to receive the law. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was there, in a very short period of time, they would encourage Aaron to follow them and to engage in basically a false religion. And that is to reject Jehovah God and to make a god that they can worship. And Aaron would build an altar before them, and they would come and they would worship this false god. And so they were very impulsive. And isn't it true that people today are somewhat impulsive and fickle? People change their mind rather quickly. And so it was with the Israelites, that in this very short period of time, they would set up a god and they would worship him rather than the God of heaven. But along with that, they were also delusional. They would say in the fourth verse, in the latter part of the verse 4, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Now, they really believe that? Is there a problem here with identity? A mistaken identity? Or perhaps they have given over to the common human thing, and that is to make a god that will represent the God that they had chosen to serve. A rather strange statement and rather delusional. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Do they really believe that? Apparently so. And in fact, in the fifth verse, Aaron would build an altar and he would make a proclamation and say, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." That is, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. And so they worship this false god. And according to the sixth verse, on the next day, they would rise up early on the next morning, offer burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It was so common with idolatry, this religion would become very immoral. And therefore, there would be drinking and there would be this the dancing that would have the sexual innuendos. And it became an extremely immoral thing before the God of heaven. The problem was that these people had too much of Egypt. That was the problem. In fact, if you want to hold your place and go to the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen gives us a little clue about this occasion and the reason for this occasion. In the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, and I begin with the 38th verse, Acts chapter 7, and beginning with verse 38. Stephen would say, "This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected. And in their heart they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make us gods to go before us. For this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idols, and rejoiced in the work of their hands. And then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven." And so we find that these people probably, or obviously, according to Stephen, had a reminder of Egypt. Now, why would they want to go back? I do not know. But again, people were very fickle and they were very impatient. And so they reminded them, they remembered the good old days in Egypt, and they wanted to make a calf. Remember that in Egypt they would worship bulls and cows. Remember the fifth plague, in which God would bring pestilence upon the livestock of Egypt. And so they wanted to go back to those good old days. You know, the story is that you can take people out of Egypt, but you can't get Egypt out of the people. And that was true of Israel. And I would make the same observation today. There is not enough church in the world, and there is too much world in the church. By the choices that we make, by the things that we do, there is too much world, I'm afraid, in the church. So, we learn a little bit about the character of the people. But then we also have another interesting individual, Aaron, who was the high priest of Israel, the very first high priest of Israel. And oddly enough, we find that he is a participant in this false religion. He's right there in the middle of it, the very first high priest of Israel. Who would have figured? You know, Satan does a great job, does he not, in tempting people. There is Peter, the one who was the spokesman for the apostles, who denied the Lord. There is Judas, the one who is the treasurer, who holds the money bag, who would betray the Lord. And now we find Aaron, the very first high priest, is also an accomplice, if you will, to the crime. And so in the second verse, Aaron said, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." And so all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So here we find Aaron violating the second commandment. 20th chapter of Exodus, verse 4, he says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." Now here was a law that Aaron was given to uphold. And yet in a short period of time, he is following the people and is an accomplice to the crime, and he's making this golden calf, and he builds an altar for them so that they can worship this golden calf. And later on, when Aaron is confronted by God and Moses, he begins to make excuse for the sin that he's committed. In the 21st verse, in verse 21, it says, "Moses said to Aaron, 'What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?' And so Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said, "Make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." And so they gave it to me, and I cast it in the fire, and this calf came out. Incredible. Human nature hasn't changed much, has it? We all want to blame somebody else. We're not responsible for our actions. Don't want to be responsible for our actions. Don't want to be accountable. So we have to blame the circumstance or blame somebody else. And so Aaron does the old blame society and blame nature. "It was the people that caused me to do this. And furthermore, when I threw in this gold, suddenly out came this calf." And thus, he violates not only the second commandment, but he violates the ninth commandment, which is also stated in the 20th chapter of Exodus. And the 16th verse, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." People didn't make him do this. This was a choice that he made. We are who we choose to be. And Aaron had been given this great and awesome responsibility of being the very first high priest of Israel, and yet we find an extremely unfortunate character flaw in this man. In fact, furthermore, not only did he blame others, but he really let the people get out of control. And when Moses confronts him, he says in the 25th verse that when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to shame them among their enemies. Aaron had lost control. He was the one who was to be the leader of Israel, the high priest of Israel, and yet he was lacking in character enough that he didn't even have the control of the people. It reminds me of Bill's Wednesday night lesson, famous quote from Edmund Burke, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Well, here we find Aaron not only heartily involved in this false religion, but also basically failing to restrain the people. He is to be the leader, and he is failing as a spiritual leader of the nation. And thus we find the character flaw of Aaron. We cannot, I think, talk about this story without talking about the character of Jehovah God. God is, of course, in the picture. And God calls sin exactly what it is. Beginning in the 7th verse, God comes to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people.'" Actually, there are three words that are not very complimentary as God described the children of Israel. In verse 7, He says, "They have corrupted themselves." And in verse 8, He says, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have violated My commandment," the second commandment, "to not make any graven image." And furthermore, in verse 9, He says, "And indeed, they are a stiff-necked and obstinate people." Now, God tells it like it is. And God will always tell it like it is. Now, you and I can deceive people, but we will never deceive God. We can fool people, but we will never fool God. God is not mocked. The Bible very plainly tells us that. And so God very plainly calls what it is. They are corrupt, and they've turned away from My commandment, and furthermore, they are an obstinate and stiff-necked people. And God is ready to judge them. In fact, God is ready to just destroy the nation right there in the wilderness. Verse 10, He says, "Now therefore let Me alone, that My wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." God is just ready to destroy Israel right there in the wilderness, and would have had it not been for the intercessory prayer of Moses. Fact is, folks, that judgment is coming one day. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And not one of us will miss that day of judgment. We'll stand before God, and God will say, "That's who George Slover was and is." And I will stand before Him alone. I will not stand before Him and say, "Well, you know, she made me do it, or he made me do it, or they made me do it." But I will stand before God alone, accountable to Him for my life. And you will too. The fact is that one day, there is going to be a day of reckoning, and God will judge every one of us. And so God calls sin what it is. And because of that, He's ready to destroy the nation. Well, we also find in the story some other interesting individuals, the Levites. After Moses come down from the mountain, and he sees the scene and sees what is happening, Moses calls the Levites, and he says in verse 25 that when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together. You kind of see this dramatic scene. And Moses says, "Whoever is on God's side, come to my side." It reminds me sort of this legendary story supposedly in the history of Texas, the Alamo, when Colonel Travis would say, "Those who wish to be to die like heroes and patriots, come over to me." And he drew his sword, drew his line in the sand with the sword. And supposedly, they all came but one. Now, some say that's just a legend. But Winston Churchill made an interesting observation about people. He says, "To each there comes a time in their lifetime, a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitting to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for which could have been their finest hour. Well, this is the finest hour for the Levites. Moses has called, and they have come to the call of God. The Levites gathered themselves together. They had decided that they were going to be on God's side. And the reason why is because they are truly dedicated to God. Not to the people, but truly dedicated to God. And thus in verse 29, Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that He may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother." Consecrate yourself. They were truly dedicated to God. In spite of the people who were out of control, here they are standing on God's side. I wonder, where would you have been in this crisis? Would you have stood on the Lord's side? I want to tell you something. They were dedicated, and the reason is because they were truly devoted to God. But I'm going to tell you, it was not easy. They were also courageous. Because in the 27th verse, Moses said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." Imagine, they had stood in opposition to their own families, to their own brethren, to their own friends. They had stood on God's side, and they slew 3,000 Israelites on that day. In fact, the historian Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter in the 9th verse, memorializes this very occasion when he says, "They disowned their brothers and ignored their children, for they observed your word and kept your covenant." They were courageous enough to stand on God's side. Would you have stood on God's side upon this occasion? Would you have had the courage? Well, so we learn something about character, do we not, from the Levites. And then what about Moses? First of all, God wanted to destroy the nation. But Moses intercedes in behalf of the nation, beginning in the 11th verse. Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And so the Lord relented from the harm which He had said He would do to the people. Moses reminds God of His mercy and grace, and he also reminds God of the promise that He had made to the fathers, that you've made a promise, and you need to keep that promise. And thus, God relented from what He wanted to do. Here's a great example of how the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Moses was prayerful. But he was also disgusted. When he came down from the mountain, it says in the 19th verse, and so it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and dancing, and Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Appropriately, he was filled with righteous indignation and holy outrage at what he had seen. He had gone up to the Sinai to receive the law from Jehovah God, the one who had made a great manifestation for the people, the one who had delivered them out of Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea, and now they have turned their backs upon Jehovah God, and therefore Moses is truly angry. And because of his anger, being the great leader that he was, he took action. The first thing that he did is recorded in the 20th verse. He took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Then in the 26th verse, he calls the Levites, as we've already noted, who took 3,000 lives of Israel. And then in the 30th verse, it says, "And it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin, so now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' And Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now therefore, go, lead the people, the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit upon them their sin.' And so the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made." Thus, Moses built an altar, and he called upon God to forgive the people. He was a great leader. Which of these would you have been? John Blanchard says, "Circumstances never create character, they reveal it." I think that's true. So which of these would you have been? Would you have been among the people that were rather fickle and patient? Would you have been Aaron, the cowardly leader? Would you have been among the courageous Levites? Or would you have been the prayerful Moses? The fact is that to be a Christian takes character. And to be a Christian takes courage. It takes courage to stand on God's side, to refuse to allow the world to come into your life. Where would you have been with these people? Would you have stood on God's side? Maybe there's someone here today who's never obeyed the gospel, never become a child of God. If you wish today to take the courageous step to declare to the world that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and based upon that faith, to be buried with the Lord in baptism, we certainly would welcome that opportunity. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the song selected.